Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
We did play that clip at the start of the show of this woman who was spotted at a tennis match dipping her chicken fingers into her Coca-Cola, and it was because it was being televised. That particular piece of footage went viral, and she got at times a negative reaction. It seems like she's not alone in these kind of odd combinations. Someone says chocolate and sausages are nice. You can kind of see the logic of that, because chocolate with meat can be quite nice. You can make a chocolate and red wine sauce to go with your steak. It's delicious. I love milk poured over everything I eat. My gran did it growing up to cool down my food. I still do it today. Steak and chips, spaghetti, chicken casserole or curry and rice. The milk enhances the taste like salt would. Says Porrick. Derek says, I love eating Smarties while drinking whiskey and tonic. A delicious combination? Okay. I wouldn't be necessarily against that. Though somebody else says, ice cream and carrots. Have you ever tried? Yummy. While you all vomit into your hands, it's time for farming.
Panda, you're not panda. Nutella.
Nutella.
On toast with rashers and sausages.
Nutella, oh, so that would be, yeah, that's basically the same
thing.
That's chocolate with rashers.
That's chocolate with rashers, yeah. Rashers and sausages. Layers, he's very particular about it. You know, layers of the Nutella, and then, you know, it's the meat, and then the other, another layer of Nutella on top of it.
That's a lot of Nutella.
Yeah, it's a lot of Nutella. Oh, he's mad about Nutella. I remember the first time I ever got Nutella or something like it, you know, a chocolate spread. I just thought it was unbelievable. I'd been used to jam and marmalade all my life. And the idea of putting chocolate on your bread was just unreal.
It is. It's a bit on the fattening side.
It is.
We did. We did interview a woman whose aim in life is to have the world's biggest backside. I kid you not. And she's 5 kilograms of Nutella every day.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, she'll get her backside very quick.
She did. Oh no, well, it was a fair size as it was, but she was just growing all this fat, and then she has it taken out of other parts of her body and injected into her backside.
Oh my God. Oh,
there's a job for you now.
Yeah.
Right. gold medals from the ploughing world championships. This is an advance
of course, the ploughing championships. Yeah, that's taking place 2 weeks' time. We've been in the thick of it this time fortnight. So, yeah, just a shout out and congratulations to Eamon Tracy from County Carlow, who got a gold medal. He won first prize in the conventional class. Now, don't ask me what that is, because I don't know what the unconventional class is.
Yes.
But John Whelan from Wexford, he also got a silver medal. So they were over in Germany. And, you know, this, you know, precision ploughmanship is something that's very sought after. And for people who can do it really at the best in the world, and they can, and fair dues to them, because those kind of competitions are very hotly contested. Mm. And
is it,
kudos though, about it.
So is it, if in like a real world farm, to be able to plough with great precision, is it that important?
Yeah, it is. Now, I mean, I come from a part of the country where we've very little arable ground, and, you know, you couldn't plough our farm at all because the topside isn't deep enough.
Mm.
And, you know, you get this kind of blue mud underneath it, and you don't want to be bringing that up. So you kind of till field somewhat differently. But, you know, good ploughing, you need to create a good seed bed for the seeds that are going into it. Like, they're very little things, seeds, very tiny things. And they have to be properly ploughed and properly harrowed and properly sown. So to do it well is a very, very good skill. You couldn't just let any idiot out with a tractor and a piece of machinery behind them and expect them to do the job, you know, and do it well.
Yeah.
So, and again, you know, how competently you do it, it even actually would filter through right to the time that you're reaping that harvest. You know, you're taking it up, you're harvesting it. So, yeah, it is important, and we have the best skills in the world at it at the moment.
All right, OK. Well, now, more bad news, I'm afraid. The maize harvest. Now, this is not just in Ireland, this is across Europe.
Yeah, well, look at, I mean, it didn't just, the sun didn't just shine in Ireland this summer.
Yeah.
And the rain didn't just not fall in Ireland. Like, it did fall somewhere, but it didn't fall in Ireland. So, one of my colleagues went off over to... Aidan Brennan, he went off over to Germany to see what the situation is. Now, it's a bit like here. Scandinavia and Germany and Holland, those kind of countries have been really affected. But if you go about 2 hours south of Berlin, it's all hunky-dory.
Right.
A bit like in Ireland, west of Ireland, wondering what's going on the East Coast and saying, well, 1 out of 10 years, they get a bad year and you never hear the end of it from them. we're used to it the whole time. And the same down our country, not the same focus on this drought at all. But in northern Germany, if you take an area that's north of Berlin, a place called Brandenburg, it would be, I won't say the breadbasket of Germany, but it's really, really good farmland. They had, last year, in the entire year, they had 620 millimetres of rain. This year, they've only had 192
today. Oh my God.
Now that is a massive decline in the amount of rain. Now, what they also had, though, which is really where there's a huge impact of this, they had a really bad winter. They had the same kind of winter as we had. Mm. There was frosts of -6 up to the middle of April. Now, with those kind of frosts, they couldn't get the crops into the ground because they just wouldn't germinate. So they had to sow them late. So May came lovely and everybody thought the world was grand. And then June, July and August came. So the result is that the crops that have grown out of what was sown are minuscule in comparison to what usually would be there. So you're talking about cereal harvest. That's over now. That's completed really well ahead of time. So what you would be expecting 5 to 6 ton a hectare, you're talking about 2 to 3 ton this year. Literally half of it.
Okay.
So that's going to have significance as you go on into the year. They're now harvesting the maize crop. And again, they would have been expecting about 35 ton to the acre because maize has a couple of good functions. It's got the roughage, you know, you've got these high stems that reach up to 12, 14 feet in the sky. And then you've also got the cobs, the kernels, and that's where the energy is. And that's why it's such a great feed for animals, because it's giving them roughage, but it's also giving them energy.
Mm-hmm.
But now what they're saying is that you're talking about 20 ton to the hectare versus 35 ton. And you're talking about crops being maybe 5 foot high, 6 foot high, you know, just the height of yourself.
Yeah.
And instead of being up to 12 foot high, and the cobs are barely visible. So they've been able to, the ground hasn't just been able to produce a crop, even though the seeds germinated and it grew to a certain extent. There's no body in it. There's no energy in it. So that's a concern because, you know, it's the food that's chopped up and given to animals all through the winter. And the energy is created by the kernels, the corn kernels. Now, you know, you eat them yourself and you put a bit of butter on them and they're gorgeous. And so the area that's impacted by this most is the big dairy producing area of Germany. So it's just going to be interesting to see how they're going to supplement it with additional meals. Now, seemingly a lot, unlike in Ireland, where we used up our fodder from last year, they still have reserves from last year. And that may help to supplement the thing. But the German government have come out with 340 million euro of a support scheme, and it's available to farmers who have crop losses of anything over 30%. They can make a claim against
it. Might that have a knock-on effect though on things in the shops might even be scarce or go up in price?
That's it. Well, between next spring is going to be a rather interesting period because, you know, you've got the whole Brexit situation and what's going to happen with the fresh food going over there. I just see there a small piece from Patrick Coveney. I think he's the head of is it Green Corps. They supply an awful lot of sandwiches and fresh food fresh stuff into the UK, and he's talking about like food shortages and rotting food and all sorts of things. But then you also have, in terms of farming and the production of the raw resource, you've got what's going to happen, the residue from this year or the impact of this last 8 months on farming and what it's going to materialise into for the next 8 months in terms of production levels and the costs. Like the other thing about the whole costs is that now the Germans may have put that kind of money aside for their farmers. But it's Bank of Ireland here. I think they've put aside 100 million for as a fund for to pay for fodder, feed and fertilizer over the next this winter. So it's that's That can tell you the significance of it.
Yeah,
100 million. Yeah, that's right. The Bank of Ireland, 100 million fodder shortage fund. It's available now basically until the end of March. It's for feed, fodder and fertiliser. 3.86 of an interest rate, and the terms are up for 3 years. So 100 million, like, that's an awful lot of money.
That's an awful lot of money.
Just to cover the additional costs of everything.
And it doesn't help anyone to be getting into more debt.
Yeah, so someone is going to have to, you know, it can't all just go on the farmer to have to bear all of that debt. Now, you might say if there's a profit, they bear the profit, but generally they don't because it's swiped off them by the retailers.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's really been a horrendous situation. It won't give farmers any great satisfaction to see that, you know, things are just as bad in Germany.
Absolutely not. Mairead, thanks a million for coming in to us today. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.